Finding the elevator proved to be more difficult than Cal had expected. He'd stood for several long seconds staring at the spot on the wall he'd expected to see it, his brain refusing to accept it wasn't there.
But this is where it is downstairs. On our floor, this is where the elevator is, so it should be here. It goes up and down. That's just science.
What do you mean? Why would it just go up and down? That's pointless.
No, it isn't. It's a funking elevator. It elevates, it goes up, and, you know, down. I don't know what the word is for that. Descendivator, maybe?
What are you talking about? We can't hang around here. Someone might see us.
Cal tapped the wall, just in case the elevator door actually was there, but hiding from them. It wasn't. Somewhere far back along the corridor, a door opened. It was hidden by the corridor's slight curve, but the footsteps they heard emerging sounded like they belonged to some pretty serious feet.
In here.
Cal threw open a door and pulled Marana through. They emerged into a vast cargo area, stacked high with rusted containers, oozing barrels, and several hundred wooden crates. Cal didn't actually notice any of those details at first, his attention being grabbed by the much more eye-catching monster that took up a full third of the cage directly in front of him.
Jesus, what is that?
He closed the door at his back just as the beast turned its dark, soulless eyes towards him.
Looks like Godzilla humped a lion.
The creature hurled itself at the bars, a thrashing fury of fur and scales and claws and teeth. It hit the thick metal rods with such force that the whole cage leapt forward a full inch and a half.
I don't know. I don't think I've ever seen one before.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure you'd have remembered.
He took Marana by the hand, and they sidled along the wall, keeping their distance as the creature thrust a powerful front limb through a gap between two bars and slashed furiously at the air. Its face was twisted up in rage, showing teeth that were almost the length of Cal's entire hand.
Ah, nice, Godzilla lion. Good Godzilla lion.
They skirted around a stack of crates and out of the monster's line of sight.
Here.
Marana tugged on Cal's arm. Two sets of elevator doors were set into the wall just ahead and to the right. They hurried towards them, then Cal jabbed at the call button several more times than was strictly necessary and impatiently tapped a bare foot.
Come on, come on!
The Godzilla lion had stopped making any noise now, but Cal was too scared to turn around in case it was standing right beside him, licking its lips.
We'll get on this, head to the landing decks, find my ship, and... Shiz! No, wait! We can't!
Why not?
Because I need the rest of them.
The rest of what?
The rest of the crew. My friends, I guess. Although, that's quite a strong word to describe them at this point in time.
Well, where are they?
Cal reached through the fog of his memory, stretching back towards the note on the door.
They're in... a place.
That doesn't help!
It's a word. I can see a word. Mumble? No, wait. Mumful, maybe?
The bar?
Of course, the bar. That's the place me and Splurt went. I even know where that is. Vaguely.
With the doors finally open, Cal bundled Marana inside the elevator and began studying the circular brass buttons that lined all three of the walls. There were hundreds of the Fonkers. When he and Splurt had gone on their bar hunt, he'd pressed a few at random and hopped off at the floor that looked the most promising.
It's this one. Or possibly that one. That one. This one? Or one of these two.
A light illuminated beneath each button, and the door closed. The elevator climbed smoothly. This worried Cal a little, because the one he'd been on with Splurt had been a real bone rattler he'd been convinced was about to drop at any minute. This was a different elevator, and quite possibly didn't even go to the floor they needed to get to. Still, he could worry about that in a minute. Right now, there was something else that required his attention.
Are you okay?
Marana was leaning against the back wall, A sheen of sweat shone across her pink forehead, and she was flexing the fingers of one hand in and out while rubbing the underside of her bump with the other.
Tell me you're not having a baby.
Miranda shot him an irritated look and indicated her bump.
Now, I meant, tell me you're not having a baby right now.
After a moment that seemed to Cal to stretch on for all eternity, she shook her head.
Not now, no.
But soon?
I think so.
Cal shot a glance up at the elevator's metal mesh ceiling.
Oh, hurry the funk up!
As if on cue, the elevator car glided to a stop. Cal and Miranda pressed themselves against the wall on either side and waited for the door to slide open. Another warehouse-like cargo bay stood beyond the doors.
Nope, not this one.
The door closed and they were on their way again. This pattern repeated four times. The elevator stopped, the doors opened to reveal a cargo deck or an accommodation corridor, and they continued upwards.
Are you sure you pushed the right button?
No. They should really have like a map or something in here instead of people having to rely on guesswork. It's a terrible system.
A flicker of recognition stirred at the back of Cal's brain. This floor wasn't loaded with cargo or featureless doors, and was instead filled with people and laughter and the unmistakable chinking of glassware.
Bingo!
He moved to step out of the elevator, but Miranda held him back. She pointed past him to where a group of mostly human-looking men in matching leather armor stood talking to what appeared to be a person dressed as a big rat. Cal had seen enough in the past few days that he knew it probably wasn't a person dressed up at all, and was, in fact, just a big rat. Whatever it was, it looked frightened, and anything that could frighten a giant space rat was something to be avoided. That was Cal's motto. Admittedly, it hadn't been his motto for long, but he was damn sure it would be from this point on. The men all wore gunmetal gray helmets, which attached to their armor at the back of the neck. From where Cal was standing, he couldn't see the front of the helmets, but they seemed to be full-faced, designed to protect the wearer's head while simultaneously scaring the bejesus out of anyone who met them.
Bounty hunters.
Oh, great.
The crowds were pretty thin around the elevator door, but quickly grew more densely packed together just a few dozen feet away. If they could get past the bounty hunters without them turning, they could feasibly use the crowd as cover all the way to Mumphel. If they could get past the bounty hunters. That was what it all came down to. And now, with their backs still turned, looked to be as good a time as any.
Come on.
Cal took Miranda by the wrist. They hurried out, Cal striding, Miranda waddling a few steps behind him. A gray-skinned creature with walrus-like tusks lunged towards them. Cal nodded briefly in response and ducked past him, hauling Miranda along. He dodged past a small knot of revelers, sticking close so he and Miranda looked to be part of the same group. The main bulk of the crowd was just a few more feet ahead now. Cal spotted a narrow gap in the bodies and headed towards it. It was then that he made the mistake of checking on the bounty hunter's situation. As he looked over, his eyes met those of the big rat. He whipped his head around to face front again, far too quickly for it to look natural, he realized.
Shiz.
He wanted to look back, but was keen not to look even more suspicious. He waited until they'd reached the gap in the crowd, then chanced a quick peek back over his shoulder. The rat had one arm raised, a long, thin finger jabbing towards Miranda. The bounty hunters had all about turned, revealing their helmets to be even more intimidating than Cal had imagined them to be.
Uh-oh, time to go.
Cal shoved his way into the throngs of bodies. They were barely a few steps in when the first shot came. The crowd surged away from the approaching bounty hunters, carrying Cal and Miranda along with them. Cal made it through the glass, holding onto Miranda as tightly as he could. He risked a glance back in time to see the bounty hunters gunning down the back few rows of the rushing crowds. This only served to make the next few rows push forwards with even greater enthusiasm. There was a gap in the wall ahead, a narrow alleyway between two bars that was presumably some sort of staff access. Cal shoved himself backwards, grabbing for Morana's sleeve. Then a shard of glass wedged itself more deeply into his right foot, but felt a surge of relief when he locked his hand onto Morana's arm. Cutting right, they worked their way through the fleeing horde, keeping their heads low. Several of the things in the crowd were substantially taller and wider than Cal and Morana put together, so staying out of sight wasn't too much of a problem. They stumbled out of the throngs and into the alleyway.
Oh, come on! Down here!
Cal hobbled painfully away from the crowds and the blaster fire. The alleyway turned into a couple of sharp right angles. They hurried down them.
Keep going. I don't think they saw us.
What about that?
Morana pointed to the trail of bloody footprints that stretched out behind Cal.
Don't follow those.
Shiz!
Cal lifted the marginally more painful of his feet, looked at the sole, then wished he hadn't.
Can you give me a piggyback?
No!
No, right. Of course not. What if I gave you a piggyback?
How would that help?
Yeah, you're right. That doesn't make any sense, does it?
Down here. They went this way.
Morana scampered ahead as fast as a heavily pregnant woman could possibly scamper. Cal shuffled behind her, his feet curved inwards so all his weight was on the outside edges.
Go, go! Don't wait for me!
She chewed her lip fretfully for a moment, then turned and rushed on, zigzagging around another set of corners.
No!
Shiz, what now?
Cal grimaced, hobbling. He made it around the Z-bend and immediately spotted the problem. The alleyway opened into a rectangular storage area that ended in a solid wall dead ahead of them. There were no doors, no way in or out, other than the route they'd just taken. They were trapped, and there was nowhere left to run. Cal turned, placing himself in front of Morana, just as six bounty hunters flooded out of the alleyway and into the wider clearing. He held the sword in a way he hoped suggested he knew how to use it beyond a basic stabby end and non-stabby end level.
Hey, guys!
He looked their matching uniforms up and down.
So, are you all dressed the same on purpose, or was it just an awkward coincidence? I bet you were all like, wait, I said I was wearing the leather armor and sinister helmet. Must have been pretty embarrassing.
The bounty hunters fanned out until they stood like a firing squad before him. Cal hobbled on the spot, gritting his teeth against the pain in his feet, and trying not to show how rapidly his fear levels were rising.
Anyway, I'm really sorry to disappoint. I can't let you take the girl.
We don't want the girl.
Cal glanced back at Morana, then pointed to himself.
Wait, you're here for me?
The baby?
Right, yes, of course. Gotcha. Makes sense.
He raised the sword.
But, you see, the thing is, I can't let you take the baby either. Although that thing you do with your mask and your voice is pretty funking cool. I can see why you all decided to wear it. Hell, if I had a mask like that, I don't think I'd ever take it off.
While Cal spoke, all six of the bounty hunters simultaneously saw three things flash up beside a little target icon which appeared over his head in their in-visor display. The first was his name. The second was a word which, if viewed with a visual translator chip, would have approximated the word wanted. The third thing was the part they were most interested in. It was a number. A number with a lot of zeros.
Cal Carver. Looks like we do want you after all. Or someone does. This is going to be a more productive day than we thought.
All six weapons snapped up. Morana covered her eyes and pressed herself behind Cal's back.
Guys, guys, wait! I mean, come on! It's Kroyshuk! Season of peace and goodwill? Or, you know, something like that? It's not a time to be rounding up completely innocent people in alleyways. It's a time for friendship. for family.
He looked across at all six visors.
I mean, you're kidnapping an unborn child. I'm pretty sure that's like in the top 10 worst things you can possibly do. Top 20, anyway. A helpless infant being hunted by a wicked king. That's not what Kroyshuk is all about.
None of the men had made any move to shoot him, so he took a breath and prepared to deliver the killer blow.
I mean, what would your moms think?
Oh, good. Dead or alive.
All six of the men's blaster rifles swung to target Cal. He gritted his teeth, shut his eyes, held up the sword at an angle he hoped would miraculously deflect every one of the men's shots at the same time, and braced himself.
Ugh! Like, who is that fat chick?
Cal opened one eye. A powerfully built figure stood behind the bounty hunters, her hairy head and toothy snout towering above them all.
Miz! Thank funk for that!
Three of the bounty hunters spun on the spot, taking aim at Mizette. The others kept their sights trained on Cal.
Halt!
Halt yourself!
Miz eyeballed him for a few moments, then looked him up and down.
That armor is so last year, by the way.
She lifted her eyes to Cal again.
Seriously, who's that?
Miranna? Miz, Miranna.
Cal gestured to the bounty hunters.
Possibly not the best time?
Miz glared at Miranna, her eyes narrowed.
Whatever. Met says you should move to the left.
Why?
What am I, his secretary? Just said you should move to the left.
My left or your left?
He didn't say. All he said was, tell him to move to the...
Cal moved left, pulling Miranna with him. Two of the bounty hunters trained their weapons on the smoking hole and the pile of rubble on the ground in front of it. Mech's metal frame moved through the gap in a cloud of masonry dust. The paint job he'd been given by Zyrtex was gone. It hadn't been painted over, but removed somehow, as Mech now looked in the same scorched and battered state he'd been when Cal had first met him.
Can't leave you alone for 5 minutes, can we?
He stepped in front of Cal and Miranna, his back to the gunmen.
Stand aside!
Mech held up a finger.
1 second. I'm talking to my boy here.
He nodded towards Miranna.
Who's the girl?
Miranna, Mech, Miranna. She's pregnant.
I can see that.
Wait. It's not yours, is it?
Cal leaned past Mech and shot Miz a reassuring smile.
Hey, come on, I'm fast, but I'm not that fast.
A bounty hunter swung his weapon to take aim at Cal's head, and Cal quickly ducked back in behind Mech. There was a flash of movement by the hole in the wall. Lauren rolled expertly through the gap and over the rubble, coming to rest on one knee, her blaster pistol drawn and already taking aim at the closest bounty hunter.
In position.
Hooray! We're saved! We totally had this before you arrived. You're literally making no difference right now. You just look stupid.
The bounty hunters now didn't know who to aim for. When there had been 3 targets and 6 guns, it had been simple math. 2 guns per target. That was assuming you counted Cal and Miranna as one target, which was fine as they were close enough together to be touching. Now, though, there were 4 targets and 6 guns, and from a pure division point of view, that didn't work. Cal and Miranna were both behind Mech, but the gunmen at each end of the line could still see them, which only served to complicate the whole aiming thing further. On the plus side, the inside of each bounty hunter's visor was currently a switchboard of names and reward notifications. If they could round up this little lot, they could probably retire on the profits.
We're taking you all in. Surrender or be destroyed.
Mech tapped his forehead at Miranna in a little gesture of salute.
Lady, you might want to avert your eyes.
He turned to face the bounty hunters and regarded them in silence for a few long moments.
In fact, Miz, Lauren, why don't you two take Cal and his lady friend somewhere?
Aw, how come you get all the fun?
Miz, please.
Miz folded her arms and shoved her way through the line of gunmen, forcibly shouldering one of them aside. She trudged past Lauren, over the rubble, and stopped just inside the hole.
So are you, like, coming or what?
Cal and Marana shuffled sideways out of Mech's cover. An alternating number of guns followed them as they joined Miz on the other side of the hole. Lauren straightened up, her blaster still raised, then retreated for the gap in the wall.
You'll be okay?
Come on. You serious?
Have fun!
Cal popped his head around the edge of the hole again.
Oh, and once you're finished, bring me one of their boots, will you?
He vanished into the hole, then popped back out again.
And by that I mean bring me the boots of one of them, not one boot, just to be clear. Two boots.
Gotcha.
A left and a right. Don't try to be cute by bringing me two identical boots or anything.
Just go, man. I'll get you the fucking boots.
Cal gave him a thumbs up, then waved briefly at the bounty hunters.
Bye, guys. Merry Kroyshok!
He turned away just as Mech reached for the big round dial fixed to the center of his chest. Turning it one way, Cal knew, cranked up Mech's brain power, making him super intelligent, but at the cost of his physical strength. Turn it the other way, however, and Mech's power levels were drastically increased, but his IQ dropped several dozen points. Cal didn't see which direction Mech turned the dial, but judging by the sounds that followed, he reckoned he could probably hazard a guess. Miz and Lauren led Cal and Marana into a dark, noisy, but semi-deserted nightclub. Smoke hung in the air like fog, proving a handy backdrop for a series of colorful laser lights that danced across the almost empty room.
Great rescue, guys. Seriously, couldn't have been better. A couple of minutes earlier wouldn't have hurt, of course. And I might not have feet full of glass, but still. Textbook stuff. How did you even find us, by the way?
Miz got your scent, then Mech scanners picked you up.
And she did absolutely nothing.
Miz's eyes flicked to Lauren just for a moment.
Thanks.
They crossed the hall in the direction of the fleeing crowds.
Wow. I guess Mech blowing the wall up really scared them.
Not that. I don't think it was that.
Marana tugged on Cal's sleeve. He turned to see the pirates he'd encountered in the hall outside his room marching across the dance floor towards them. One of them was being pulled along by a chain he gripped with both hands. A chain which was, in turn, attached to the collar of a heavily muzzled Godzilla lion.
Oh, right. So that's the Osnark. Yeah. Of course it is.
Lauren raised her gun and fired a couple of warning shots at the pirates. With a flick of its chain, the Osnark's muzzle retracted into its collar, and the beast was unleashed. It bounded towards them, shrugging off Lauren's blaster shots, silvery strands of drool dribbling from its gaping jaws.
It's not stopping.
The hair on the back of Mizette's neck stood up. She dropped to her haunches, one hand pressing against the floor.
I got it.
What? Are you insane? You can't fight that thing. It'll tear you apart.
Ha! In its dreams. Get the fat chick out of here if that's what the plan is. I'll take care of this. Go!
Lauren unleashed another volley of fire at the pirates, forcing them back. Cal hesitated, but then felt Marana's grip on his arm tighten. She almost doubled over. When she straightened, there was a puddle of clear liquid at her feet.
Cal?
Cal gaped at the puddle, then up at Marana.
You have got to be kidding me.
The Osnark was chewing up the ground now, its powerful paws thundering across the dance floor.
Lauren, I need help here!
I can't leave Miz on her own.
Lauren squeezed off another round of blaster fire. It hit a pirate in the chest, propelling him backwards across the room and slamming him into a stack of equipment. The Osnark launched itself into a final, terrifying leap. Its jaws unhinged, opening to reveal a mouth almost big enough to swallow Mizette whole. Then, with a sudden jerk, it stopped in midair. The Osnark fell to the floor, revealing a tall, silver-haired figure standing behind it, the monster's tail gripped in one wrinkled hand. It was Dorothy. Dorothy out of the Golden Girls.
Oh, she's not alone.
Cal punched his fist into the open palm of his other hand.
Now come on, let's go deliver this funking baby.
As time was something of an issue, Lauren kicked open the first door they came to, and they all barreled inside, Miranda gripping her stomach. Judging by the number of coats hanging on racks around the room, they'd found themselves in the club's coat check. Lauren immediately set about pulling down the clothing and piling it on the floor, while Cal occupied himself by staring at Miranda's stomach and wringing his hands in panic.
Lie her down.
Cal hooked an arm under one of Miranda's, taking some of her weight. His glass-ridden feet didn't think much of that and made their feelings clear with a fresh wave of agony.
Shiz! Ow! Fucking!
He helped Miranda lower herself down onto the nest-like pile of coats Lauren had prepared. He dropped to his knees beside her and took one of her hands in his. With his free hand, he tried to pull a sliver of glass from his heel, discovered it hurt far worse than any pain he'd endured in his entire life to date, and stopped. Lauren knelt near Miranda's feet, the business end, as Cal was already coming to think of it, and began working Miranda's pants down.
What are you doing?
Both women looked at him, and the penny dropped.
Oh, yeah, of course, that makes sense. So, we're really doing this, huh?
It's really happening, whether we do anything or not.
Miranda tightened her grip on Cal's hand. His arm twisted. He shoved his other fist in his mouth and bit down on his knuckle, praying for the pressure to pass.
Ow, that hurt!
Once Miranda's contraction had eased, she shot him a look that wouldn't have looked out of place on an Osnark, and he smiled uncomfortably.
But, you know, whatever helped, I guess.
Lauren ducked down and peered between Miranda's legs. Cal wasn't sure what she saw there exactly, but from the expression on her face, he was glad it wasn't in his line of sight.
You're doing great. Seriously, you're doing amazingly well.
You've done this before, right?
Lauren shook her head.
What? But don't they teach you that stuff in the army?
I'm a pilot. Why would they teach me how to deliver babies?
Cal gestured to Miranda with his free hand.
In case this happens!
He grimaced as Miranda grabbed this hand, too. Another contraction arched her back, and she squeezed both hands at once. Cal's mouth opened in a silent scream this time.
Ooh, that one nearly broke my fingers. Breathe, just breathe in, out.
I know how to fucking breathe!
A spasm of pain rocked her.
I see something.
Oh, please don't describe it.
Push, Miranda!
Miranda tightened her grip on Cal's hand even further. He bit his shirt at the shoulder, grinding the material between his teeth and trying not to pass out through the pain. And then, silence. Nothing. In her hands, Lauren held a bloody shape. Inert. Silent. Not moving.
Oh, shiz.
A pudgy pink hand twitched. A toe curled.
It's a boy!
Lauren was smiling despite her ashen face and trembling hands as she passed the infant to Miranda.
You have a little boy!
Cal flexed his fingers and blew on the knuckles.
Word of warning, kid. Your mom has one crazy grip.
He looked down into the baby's wide eyes and his pain melted away. He smiled. It wasn't one of his normal smiles, the ones carefully honed to elicit a particular response in whoever he was aiming it at. It was just a smile, meant for no one's benefit but his own.
Well, look at you.
He tickled the baby's bare belly. He tore his eyes away from the squirming infant and met Miranda's gaze.
Thank you.
Hey, it was nothing. I mean, I'll never play piano again, but no big deal.
The door swung inwards. Lauren spun on her knees, gun raised. Mech appeared in the doorway, caught a full-on view of between Miranda's legs, recoiled in horror, then abruptly about-turned.
Everything okay in here?
Yeah, we're good. You?
All taken care of.
What about the hell beast?
Miz dealt with it.
I was talking about Miz.
Now, when are you two going to learn to play nice?
Something that was all teeth and eyes appeared around the doorframe. At first, Cal thought it was the Osnark, but then it flapped its arms about in a way that bordered on hysteria.
Oh my, what is going on here?
A child has been born unto us this day.
We should get you to a room, my dear. You can have my suite. We can't have you stuck in here. It's not sanitary.
He leaned in closer to Mech, who still hadn't turned around.
Or safe. I think people might be looking for this child. It's all over the feeds.
Really? You don't say.
5 minutes and a blissfully uneventful private elevator ride later, Cal stood at the foot of a grand four-poster bed, rocking gently from side to side, the swaddled infant in his arms. Miranda watched him from the bed, sipping on a cup of something hot and sweet. Lauren, Miz, and Mech had gone to stock up on supplies and get the Shatner ready for takeoff. Dorothy, out of the Golden Girls, sat in a wicker chair next to a mirrored dressing table, looking a little green around the gills.
You don't need to keep that up now, buddy. We're all friends here.
Dorothy melted, becoming a mound of quivering green goo on the chair. Even in slime form, Splurt somehow managed to look exhausted. Keeping up the transformation for so long must have taken it out of the little guy.
You're really good with him.
Who, Splurt?
The baby.
Oh. Yeah, right.
He looked down at the infant's sleeping face. His tiny lips formed a miniature pout, and he let out a little murmur as he wrapped his pudgy hand around Cal's finger.
Thankfully, he doesn't yet have your grip.
You have kids?
Cal opened his mouth, ready for the useful stuff to tumble out. Blah, 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 too young, blah, 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 don't want to get tied down, blah, 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 something about maybe someday. Instead, though, and to his immense surprise, he decided to be honest.
Yes. No. Not anymore.
Oh, I'm sorry. What happened?
Cal shrugged, keeping his gaze fixed on the baby in his arms.
She was... There was an accident a few years back.
His jaw tightened, stopping him saying any more, and pushing back the tears he could feel amassing behind his eyelids.
Just one of those things. Sorry.
Cal held his breath as the boy's eyelids slowly closed again.
How come this King Anderley guy wanted to eat him anyway? I mean, not that I'm saying he doesn't look pretty funking appetizing, but why go to all this effort to eat him? There are bound to be loads of babies out there he could eat.
Because of who his father is.
Miranda set the cup down on Harlish's antique bedside table.
There is a story. A legend. A boy will be born. A boy of great power. Who will destroy King Anderley and his entire domain.
This little guy? It doesn't look like he'd destroy anyone. I mean, look at that face. And why eat him? That seems a bit much.
Like I say, he thinks my son has power. By eating him, he thinks he can take it.
Ah, so he's a total nut job. Gotcha. Who was the dad anyway? If, you know, you don't mind me asking.
That is a very long story.
Okay, so where is he?
That's an even longer one. He's around, I guess.
We could take you to him, on the Shatner. We could take you both.
It's not that simple. You see, he's not really in any specific sort of...
Harlish ducked his head around the frame.
Knock, knock! Everything okay?
Hey, yeah, all good here.
I want to thank you, Mr. Coe. You've been so kind.
Harlish waved a dismissive hand.
Oh, now stop. Stop it at once. I couldn't very well leave you lying there on a pile of coats, could I?
Plus, it's Kroyshuk, for goodness sake.
Well, thanks anyway, Harlish. And when I first saw you, I thought, well, it wasn't really a word, more a sort of panicky internal scream, but you're okay. You're one of the good guys.
Yes, and on that note, you have a guest.
He withdrew from the doorway and was replaced by a towering figure in a flowing red robe. The man's long, dark beard entered first. He ducked to avoid scraping his golden crown on the doorway mantle.
King Anderley!
Morana.
Cal glanced at Splurt just as he reared up, taking the form of something large and scaly. Without looking, King Anderley took aim with a small handgun and shot Splurt at point-blank range in what was becoming his stomach. A crackle of electricity ripped through Splurt, stopping his transformation midway through and reducing him to a quivering pile of gloop.
Splurt!
Cal spun, thrusting the baby back into Morana's arms, then launched himself at King Anderley, pain radiating upwards from the recently bandaged soles of his feet. Anderley backhanded him across the face, sending him spinning into an expensive-looking table. A vase, which looked even more valuable, shattered beneath Cal as he landed on top of it.
You're going to pay for those damages!
You're going to pay for being a traitorous shiznod!
Cal stumbled to his feet, only for King Anderley to shoot him in the chest. Cal's body spasmed fitfully, his muscles tightening until his arms bent back. He fell sideways, almost completely rigid, and slammed against the floor once again. He tried to move, but nothing worked. There was a total disconnect between his brain and the rest of him. He could see and hear, and there was a definite burning smell filling his nostrils, but his limbs refused to respond to his commands to move. Right funking now. Up on the bed, Morana kicked backwards until she was all the way to the headboard, her son clutched protectively to her chest.
No! No, please, don't hurt him! Don't hurt my baby!
Calm now, Morana.
King Anderley advanced towards the bed.
You know I have no choice in the matter. To protect my subjects, I must devour the infant. The legend is very clear about that.
From where he lay, Cal could see King Anderley approaching the bed, his hands, both adorned by a dozen or so gold rings, reaching towards Morana and her child. King Anderley wrapped those thick, sinewy fingers around the baby and tore it free of its mother's grasp. Harlish checked the hallway outside, then pulled the door closed and stood with his back against it.
Please, no, don't!
Morana hurled herself at the king. He caught her easily with his right hand, the baby wriggling and squirming in his left. With a single shove, he launched Morana backwards. She hit the headboard hard and folded over, the breath, if not the fight, going out of her.
Please, don't.
He doesn't look like him, does he?
Anderley peered down at the struggling child.
Then again, how could he? Around the eyes a little, perhaps, but...
He leaned in closer.
How are they glowing like that?
And then he exploded. Later, Cal would recall two bolts of crackling white light blazing from the baby's eyes. He'd remember a sound not unlike trumpets. Space trumpets, perhaps? He'd recollect the fleeting moment of surprise on King Anderley's face right before he disintegrated in an eruption of flaky white ash. The baby fell, bounced once on the bed, then was snatched up by his mother and swaddled in against her chest. He wriggled into a more comfortable position, then promptly fell asleep. Cal's fingers twitched. He focused and with some effort managed to turn his head to look over at Harlish, who was still pressed against the door, looking surprised, Cal guessed, although the whole teeth and eyes situation meant that was pretty much just a guess. All of Harlish's eyes went to King Anderley's weapon. It had fallen and was now in the process of being covered by the flakes of white ash floating to the floor. Before he could make a move, The door was thrown open, and Harlish was sent tumbling across the room, where he smashed, teeth first, into what Cal hoped had been a priceless antique lamp. Mech, Miz, and Lauren stepped into the room. They looked at Cal and Splurt on the floor, then over at Miranda kneeling on the bed with her baby in her arms. Finally, they looked at the white flakes drifting through the air.
Did we miss something?
You could say that.
Cal's face was tingling and his arms felt like lead, but he managed to prop himself up against the wall. He raised his eyes to the drifting flakes of white and felt a sudden flurry of excitement.
Hey, it's like snow.
He stuck out his tongue to catch a piece, then remembered what the flakes actually were and quickly spat it back out again. With help from Lauren and Miz, he slid himself up the wall. His legs gave way immediately, and Lauren quickly ducked under his arm to support him.
Thanks, but in the interest of full disclosure, I've wet myself.
Splurt pulsed on the wicker chair, drawing himself upwards into his traditional blob-like shape. His eyes swam around for a few moments before coming together and settling on Cal.
Oh, good to have you back, buddy. Let's agree never to get shot by one of those things again.
So, what is this stuff? Smells like dandruff.
That's King Anderley. The baby blew him to bits.
The baby?
Yep.
Blew him to bits.
Yep. He's one tough kid. Takes after his mom.
Morana smiled. She looked down at the sleeping infant in her arms.
I guess we can't keep calling him the baby, can we? He needs a name. Any suggestions?
Let me think for a moment. A child born to a mysteriously powerful absent father hunted by an evil king on space Christmas Day?
He smiled. It made his face feel weirdly rubbery.
I think I have the perfect name.
Cal sat slouched in his seat as Lauren fired up the Shatner's thrusters.
I can't believe she didn't like the name. I mean, seriously, what kid wouldn't want to be called Santa?
She didn't like it, man. Get over it. She called the kid Cal. What more do you want?
Cal shifted in his chair and gave a begrudging shrug.
Yeah, that was pretty cool, I suppose, but still... Santa!
Think she's going to be okay? Staying here, I mean.
Well, no one's looking for her now, are they? And, like, she's got a baby that can blow stuff up.
Yeah. Yeah, I think she'll be fine.
The ship edged towards the wide doors that led out into the vastness of outer space. Cal turned in time for a pair of leather boots to be thrust towards him.
Merry Kruishuk.
Aw, Mech, you shouldn't have...
Cal took the boots.
I didn't get you anything.
He tilted the boots, studying them.
A matching pair, about the right size, nice leather work. These are perfect, Mech. Thank you.
Hey, no problem. My pleasure.
Cal crossed his legs. He was about to pull one of the boots on when something inside it caught his attention. He peered inside and his stomach did a little loop-the-loop.
You do know there are still feet inside these, right?
Yeah. Yeah, I know.
And then the stars all stretched out, and the Shatner shot off into space, leaving the North Star, Miranda, and the newborn boy child far, far behind.